In 1996, Will and I were talking about, Will, come up here. We were talking about this. I can't believe it. I was living in the Woodlands, single man, and this young group of staff had come in to serve for the summer. And I was sleeping in my area there, and across from me was this dude named Will. And I'm like, I kind of like Will. And there were two young men who came up to serve 14-year-olds for the summer. No one knew that Will was 14 at the time because he acted like he was like 26 at the time. And what a blessing that God brought this man into this Fort family. And over these years, Will has been part of many of our events, from youth and teaching to adults and teaching to music. What I have appreciated about Will is that he really loves Jesus, and that's going to come out as he teaches us over these days, and he loves people. And I know there's nothing more that he'd love than for you to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ while you're here. We believe God's word is active, and you're going to hear God's word taught. And we get 3 days to say, God, what do you have for me? And now you came to this winter family getaway, and you're going to have a ton of fun and great food. There's a spiritual food we're going to get. Right? Looking forward to this time. So I'm going to ask the Lord to bless our shepherd this weekend, Will Branch, as he shares his heart and as he's prayed over this time that he's going to share with us. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are so good. We want you magnified in our life every day, but that begins at this very moment, God, as we sit under your teacher, Will. And God, give him great liberty. I pray that we could enjoy this, Lord, that we'd be fed, but that your Holy Spirit would teach. We're grateful for Will and his heart for you, God, that you saved him and that you called him to serve you and to teach people your word. And you've set him apart for that purpose. And Lord, may you just have your will in Will these days. And God, as we listen, may our hearts be receptive to what you have for us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testing. Can you hear me? Is this good? Hello. Okay. Hey, everybody. Hey, I know that there's no winter here yet. You probably won't see it for the rest of the week, but we could still have fun, and it's still probably going to be plenty cold. So I've been coming up here since 1996, and actually, I was just thinking of it the other day, just the series of events that have led, like if I hadn't come to Eastbrook Church, which is where I'm from, I'm from Milwaukee, if I hadn't gone to Eastbrook Church as a kid, then I wouldn't have come up here, and then I wouldn't have gone to Stevens Point, and then I wouldn't have met some friends, or I wouldn't have met, so it's like cool to see how the series of events leads to, you know, from one place, one little decision, or one little thing leads to a bunch of other things. I'm sure you could say that too. So I'm just curious, like, raise your hand if you've been coming to Fort Wilderness for, you know, 10 years or more, right on, so a lot of you, okay. Raise your hand if you've been coming to Fort Wilderness between 5 and 10 years. Right on, okay. And then raise your hand if you didn't, just raise your hand before that. Okay, well, Ron, raise this. Okay, all right, well, welcome to all of you. Well, how long have you guys been coming up here? The newer people? A year? Okay, well, welcome. Sorry, we will get snow eventually. We just don't know when. Hopefully before Jesus comes back. So I'm from Milwaukee. I've been like a youth pastor, I've been like a worship pastor, and a bunch of different things. And I'm currently in Kansas City, Missouri. And I'll talk a little bit more about my story as we go along. I'll talk a little bit more about that as time goes along. But a couple of months ago, someone just challenged me to look into John 15 and just meditate on it. Just like read it. And I'm like, I've read John 15, you know, probably like 100 times, probably more, 200 times, something like that. And he was like, no, just do that. Just look into John 15 and just meditate on it. Just go like line by line, verse by verse, and see just what the Lord says. And I will say that just in doing that over the last couple of months, the Lord has just really transformed my understanding of him, his love, who he is, and what his calling is for us. And so for the next couple of days, for the next 3 days, we're just going to do a Bible study in John 15. Are you guys okay with that? You're okay with that? Okay. If you're not okay, then you could go with the 5 and 10-year-olds. I think they're downstairs by now. But that's what we're going to do. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John 15, and we're just going to read it together. It'll be up on the screen also. I just got a new Bible for Christmas, and I didn't know what version it was, but it's the New King James Version. So it's cool. I like it, but I'm just going to read it from there. That way it's a little bit easier that we're all on the same page. If you don't have a Bible, Craig's got some for you. And I would actually love it if we could read this together, if you're okay with that. So if you don't mind, if you don't mind, just standing with me, and we're just going to read this together as we jump in. So I know you're going to get some exercise in here. Okay, don't worry, I got an assignment too. So all right, so this is John 15. We're going to read from verses 1 all the way to verse 18. So here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because the servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. All right, thank you. You guys can be seated. All right, so I've got a little bit of assignment, and I'm going to break the group up. I'm going to break this up into, like, three groups, okay? So we will do, let's see here, your row, just wave at me if you're in this row right here. There you go, just so I know you're, all right, there you go. So you're actually, this row. Sorry, your row right here, wave at me, just row. Okay, yeah, you're fine, that's good. All right, so this row over, you are going to, you can break up into groups or however you want to do it with your family or with somebody that you like or somebody you don't like, however you do it, however you want to do it. So your assignment is you're going to look back at John 15, 1 through 17, and you're going to look at everything that these verses talk about the vine, okay? So your responsibility is the vine. So you look it up. And you're going to look at whatever the verse talks about the vine. And so when we come back in about 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you some, what does it say about the vine? Okay, does that make sense? Understand? Yes? Some people still look a little confused. Okay, if you have questions, just wave me down. And then another thing I'd like you to do is, if you have any questions that you think as you're reading through it, just remember those, and then I'll have you bring those forward when we come back together. Okay, so you guys are the vine. All right, you guys, so where do we start? Okay, right here. Hi, how are you doing? Ooh, I like your hat. What is that? What hat? Is that Arizona State?
No, it's a high school hockey team.
Oh, cool. That's cool. I want to be part of that hockey team. Okay. All right. So this row, everybody wave. Just wave at me. Wave. Okay. Yep. You're part of my row. Okay, too. All right. Over to, right here. Okay. So sorry. You're over there. Okay. All right. Well, everybody on this row over there. So you guys are going to be you're going to be the gardener, okay? You guys are the gardeners, okay? So you're going to look through John 15, 1 through 17, and look at everything that it talks about the gardener, okay? So you just make notes of that, and then when we come back together, I'll ask you, what does it say about the gardener, okay? So that's what you're going to do. And again, if you have any questions that you want to raise or anything about the text, then you just raise them when we get together, okay? Does that make sense? Cool? All right, my people over here, okay? You guys are the branches, okay? No, I didn't pick this passage just because my last name is Branch, okay? So just get over it, okay? But you guys are the branches, okay? We got the vine, the gardener, and the branches. Sounds like a movie or a book. But you guys are going to look at everything that these verses say about the branches, and then if you have any questions that you'd like to raise about the passage too, you can do that. We'll do this in like 5 minutes, and then we'll come back together. Does that make sense? All right, you can talk to each other or somebody or nobody or however you want to do it, okay? And so we'll come back in 5 minutes. All right. Ooh. All right, welcome back. Hopefully you got a chance to know your neighbor and read scripture together. What a great way to do that. So we're going to start off with, the message is called The Vine, the Gardener and the Branches. It kind of has that, you know, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe theme to it. So I'll just leave the title alone. But so we've got Group A, okay? Group A, give it up for Group A right over here. All right, so you guys have been reading diligently. Some of you have read ahead, I know, because we talked about, I did the same thing. So you got to educate us on the rest of us, give us some things about the vine. All right, anybody, I got a microphone here, so she's been voluntold. Anybody got anything? They're pointing at you. Come on, Abby. All right, do you want to do it? Give it up for Abby. She's been voluntold. Can you do it in a rap? Yeah.
She can sing it.
Okay, no, that's all right. Just go ahead.
Hi. Specifically focusing on the vine, I am the vine, assuming we're probably talking about Jesus here, and my father is the vine dresser. In my version, it says vine dresser, but in theirs, it says gardener.
Okay.
Let me read my note. You must be in the vine. God is the vine dresser. Abide in the vine to bear fruit.
Nice. She just took everything. All right. So thank you very much. No, that's fine. Anybody else have anything else that they want to add? You got an Eagles hat on and a Packers jersey. You're like, that's conflict, but that's cool. It looks dope. You want to? Hi. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
I just am struck by the fact that it's abide in me and I in you. So if you think about a plant, the agricultural analogy, the branch is abiding in the vine, and the vine is is inside of the branch, giving life to it, and that kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Let's go. You probably got like a green thumb, don't you? Let's see. Let me see the thumbs. Okay, now they're white, but it's okay. Anybody else got a green thumb? Anybody else want to say? Oh, there you go. Green thumb. You do roses.
Okay. So the vine is essential for like bearing fruit. It says that you can't bear any fruit without the vine.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to bear like the most amount of fruit or to like reach your utmost potential, you have to be a part of the vine.
Ooh,
or
okay.
A part of like the kingdom of God.
Snaps. Okay, you went deep. He was like, and the vine said, okay, thank you. Anything else? You got anything else? Can you rap at all? No?
Can I rap it?
No, you don't have
no,
to. Okay.
No.
Do you have anything else? Yes.
Aspects of the vine that are not fruitful are cut off.
Okay.
That's kind of what I got.
All right. Can you guys hear that, by the way? Make sure you guys speak up. Anybody else have anything? Y'all look like y'all got something. You got something? Eagle Packer, you got something? No. You got a question? Oh, question. Okay, we got a question over here. You don't. He's like, no. Oh, okay. All right.
You don't believe in this, there was kind of a sense that it means you're nothing.
Ooh, can you say that again?
If you don't believe in this, there was sort of a sense that that means you're nothing.
Okay.
And so there was a fear and a concern in that.
So if you don't believe in this, okay, yeah, thank you. Anybody else have any observations or questions? We didn't really get to a whole lot of questions. Yes.
There's just a translation that I appreciate. This is the Passion Translation, and verse 2 says, "He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches."
Ooh, all right. The Passion Version. I've never even heard of that. That's cool. Anybody else have any observations or questions or anything like that? Okay, all right. So we're going to go over to the Group B. You guys, you ready? All right. You don't look ready. Anybody got anything about the red? you've been pointed out. Thank you very much.
Let's stay here because I'll have to give it back to you. So our group was discussing about, I can't read my handwriting. One of the questions we came up with is, why is he pruning? What do you think he wants?
Ooh.
And what do the non-bearing branches, or the ones that bear fruit represent? Those are questions. The father's the gardener, and I can't read my handwriting.
Okay.
I gotta work on that.
All right, so good question there. Yeah,
you got one? Can you pass, take it down and pass it? Nope.
Do you want us to just say one thing?
What, you can say whatever.
Well, okay, no. So we kind of made a little bit of a list, and the first one we said that is the Father is the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father is the gardener, and he cuts off the branches that bear no fruit. He prunes branches that do bear fruit. So even if you think you're bearing fruit, you're still going to get pruned, which is interesting. If you remain with God, he will help you bear fruit. So it's almost like you get to have the sun and the rain with you, and it will help you to. He will help you to bear fruit. If you remain and ask him, it will be done for you. And I think I'm just going to stop there. Did you want to add anything?
I just thought it was a little bit interesting where there's a couple instances where it calls into the, is there a hierarchy within the Trinity? Because Jesus talks about obeying the Father's or the gardener's commands. And I forget what the other instance was, but that I just thought that was interesting.
Sweet. Asking about the Trinity. Oh, you guys. All right. Anybody else have any questions or observations about the vine dresser? Anybody else? Questions, thoughts? All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh. Okay, that's good. So the gardener is aware of what's happening in the garden or with the branches. Yeah, you probably don't even need this, do you? Okay. Ooh.
So he's like trying in two different ways to make the vine fruit.
Yeah, right
so
on.
It's just obviously
the fruit. Yeah, amen to that. All right. All right, so last call. We're going over to the branches. Yeah. Sorry. Nobody? Anybody? Okay. All right, branches. What do you got here? Anybody got any? You look like you have something. All right.
Yeah, so we read that the branches that do not produce fruit, he cuts off. So if you don't produce fruit, you do not really know the Father. He doesn't know you. The branch that do produce fruit, he prunes. That's showing that we must go through pain and suffering to grow and thrive, really lean on the Father through those hard times and grow closer to him. And we can also do nothing apart from him.
Hmm. All right, so branch is nothing apart from the vine. Anybody else have any thoughts, comments, questions, snide remarks, dissertations, anything like that? Okay, right.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting is that there's a note in this Bible that says the Greek for he prunes also means he cleans.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I thought that was really interesting because it also says in one of these first four verses that you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Ah.
So that just kind of means that we've been pruned because we've learned this word.
Hmm.
And so that just really stuck out to me.
All right.
Well, that's all I got, you guys. We can just go home. I'm just kidding. You got one more thing? Well, we're going to come back to you. Anybody else from the branches got anything before I go? No questions? There wasn't a whole lot of questions. Yeah, you got one?
I just wanted to comment that so when we were looking at Jesus saying, I am the vine, and talking about the abiding, I abide in you and you abide in me, then you will bear the good fruit. I just wanted to bring up that Peter says that the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, is received immediately upon our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. And so I believe that's a big part of that abiding, and the Holy Spirit is the one that, you know, as we know, when you look, you have the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, tenderness, and self-control, which are good fruits.
Amen. Fruit. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so again, just going back to this, again, a friend of mine challenged me to to really meditate on this, and I've just been looking at this, and there's just a couple of things that I think are important in order to understand this, to what's going on here. Number one, who's talking, first of all? So Jesus is talking, and who is Jesus represented as? Let's try this again. Okay, who is Jesus represented as? The vine. Good. Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm like, did we read the same thing? Okay, so Jesus is the vine, okay? And what's so interesting about this is that he is not just the vine. He actually says here he's the true vine, right? So if you look here in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. So when I read this, the first time I read this, like as I was meditating on this, after a couple weeks, I'm like, wait a minute, where did the word true come from? Like, how did that get in there? Because I most of the time when I read this, I just think of Jesus as the vine. So if Jesus is the true vine, then I was like, where are the other vines? Like, are there other vines? Like, is there another vine somewhere? So you got to figure out what is he talking about here? So, all right, so Jesus is the one who's speaking. Jesus is the true vine. Who's he talking to? Does anybody know who he's talking to? He's talking to his disciples. So Jesus, this I am statement, I am the true vine, this is the last of his I am statements. So he says, you know, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this is the last one of those. And actually, this is part of his final discourse. So he's like about to go to the cross, and he's just getting in all his last like sermon notes, like before, you know, make sure that you know this. And he's talking to the disciples, and he's teaching them this. So he's talking to these disciples, and he says to them, hey, disciples, I am the true vine. So none of us grew up in that world, but if you were a disciple, you would be thinking about something here. Well, wait a minute, the vine is actually a representation of Israel. So in actuality, that you would actually, there's these coins that actually have a vine on one side of it, a representation of Israel. And so it's almost like Israel was known as the vine. So if you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to turn there. This is Isaiah chapter 5, and this is Isaiah chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 1, and it says, now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. So this is Isaiah. He's actually speaking about what he's speaking on behalf of God. And he says, my well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones, planted it with his choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. So Isaiah is talking about God. He's talking on behalf of God. He's saying, my beloved God had this vine. He planted this vine. He did all the things he needed to plant this vine, and he was expecting it to get good grapes. So when you plant something, you typically expect to get something back, right? Because you got to dig up. I'm not even going to try to explain it. I had a plant. I killed it trying to, you know, make a point here. So I'd left it at home because it's dead anyway. But I'm assuming that when you plant strawberries, what do you expect to get out of it? When you plant grapes or grapefruits, or I don't know, what do you expect to get out of it? When you plant grapefruits, what do you expect to get out of it? So God, who is the vine dresser, as it says in John 15, he planted this vine. That vine was Israel. So a disciple, anytime they hear the word vine, they're thinking, oh, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about the people of Israel. Unfortunately, though, the story doesn't go well for that vine, because he says that God planted a vine. He expected it to bring forth good grapes, grapes, but they actually got wild grapes. And actually, you could turn over to Psalm 80 if you want to. You don't have to. I have it here somewhere. Here we go. He says it like this. Psalm 80, it says, starting verse 8. Oops, my page is sick. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. Israel, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? So he's talking about Israel. So the story of Israel, most of you probably know what it is. Israel was the people of God. God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He planted them in the desert, in the promised land. That was his goal. That was his desire. He wanted a people to for himself, a people who would give him glory, a people for himself, and he wanted to build them up. He wanted to plant them in the promised land. And what was the reason that he wanted to do that? Not just so that they could enjoy the fruits, but they could be a blessing to the nations. He said to them, I will bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pull you out of slavery in Egypt. I'm going to pick you out. I'm going to plant you here. And I want you to, I'm going to bless you because I want you to be a blessing to the nations. I want to bless you so that you will be a blessing to other people, to all nations. Unfortunately, they thought otherwise. When God planted them, when he blessed them, they thought, oh, it's because we're so great. It's because we're so awesome. And they completely forgot about God. And then, unfortunately, things went badly for them. Now we switch back to John chapter 15. Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying, hey, you know that symbol, the vine that you're so familiar with? Actually, I am the true vine. I am the true representation of what Israel is supposed to be. I am the one who is, I'm showing you what does it look like to be a vine. I'm showing you what does it look like as a people. This is what I wanted Israel to be, and I'm going to show you exactly what it's supposed to look like. So in a sense, what Jesus is saying is the reason why he's come is to be a blessing to all people. He says, I am the true vine, and he says, my Father is the vine dresser. So what's interesting about this is, I was trying to find the parable, and I just got lost, so I can't really remember what it is. But there's a parable about a rich man who planted a vine, and he said he sent, I couldn't find it. I was like, I know it's in the Bible somewhere. I didn't make this up, guys, okay? When I find it, I will bring it up. But anyway, so the parable is about a rich man who had a vine, and so he planted a vineyard, and he would send out servants to come and get it, and then like the people who were he would send out people to come and get the fruit of the vine, and then the people who were working in the vine, they like beat up the servants, and then they killed, he sent his son, they killed the son, and so that was the thing. So what's interesting about this is that a person who has a vine, who has planted a vineyard, they're usually pretty wealthy, and they would be far off. They wouldn't be in the vine. Like if you're rich enough to have, to buy a vineyard, to have a vineyard, you wouldn't be the one cutting the fruit. You wouldn't be the one pruning it. You would pay other people to do that. But this shows here that the Father is actually intimately connected with the actual vineyard. So he's got this vineyard, and he doesn't leave it to other people to figure out what's going on in the vineyard. He doesn't leave it to other people to take care of the vineyard. No, he is the one who is there. He's the one who's taking care of the vineyard. He's the one who's doing the stuff, right? So what does the vine dresser, what does he do? What's his job? What's his job? What does he do? Starts with a P, rhymes with rune. Thank you. Okay. All right. Cool. He prunes. That's what he does. He does two things. He either cuts or he cuts off. Okay. That's what he does. And there's a reason for it. Somebody else said the reason why he's doing it is because he wants fruit. He bought a vineyard. He wants the fruit of the vineyard. He wants that. That's what he's looking for. So his job is to prune it. Well, that's what his job is. He's intimately connected with it. It is his vineyard, and he wants to prune it. Okay, now we go to the branches, all right? And no, I didn't pick this passage because it's got the word branch in it, okay? I know somebody was asking about that. What is the job of the branch? What's his job? I know. You would be right, because I thought the same thing. I thought the job of the branch was to bear fruit. That's actually not what it says. The job of the branch is not to bear fruit. It's to remain. That's it. Remain in the vine. To stay there. To not go anywhere else. To not do anything else. And folks, there is a big difference. If you think the job of the branch is to bear fruit, there's a big difference between my job is bearing fruit and my job is remaining. There's a whole bunch of stress. There's a wide chasm between that. If I think that my job is to bear fruit as a Christian, as a Christian, if my job is to bear fruit as a Christian, man, there is a weight on me that I don't know, because I don't know how to bear fruit. Like, how does a branch bear? Do you just squeeze and then just fruit pops out? Hopefully you don't do that. Okay, don't do that. Okay, please don't do that. Okay, so. When I first realized this, it opened up a world for me because, folks, I've been a pastor for, I was a pastor for 6 years as a youth pastor, and then I was a pastor for like 3 years and stuff, and I'll just be honest with you, working in ministry is very difficult, and I will say it like this. So people always ask me all the time, why aren't you a pastor, what church you go to, all this kind of stuff, and I'm just like, I can't do that anymore. And the reason why I can't do that anymore is not because there's anything wrong with being a pastor, but what I found for myself is that it was hard for me to remain in the vine doing that because I got so caught up in trying to bear fruit. And you know what we're talking about by bearing fruit. You know, we gotta evangelize. We gotta, you know, save 12,000 people. I mean, I had, like, people, my parents in my office, you gotta save my kid. Now, you know, like, they'd joke, like, now he's in your hands, you know, stuff like that. Like, I felt the weight of all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, I would ask all the time, like, I must be missing something because I, in the midst of doing ministry, I don't know where God is. I can't find him. Like, I can't concentrate on God. I can't do God while I'm doing this. I'm not saying other people can't do it. I'm just saying I couldn't do it. And I wonder, in our Christendom, in our world of ministry and all that kind of stuff, I mean, we're doers, aren't we? We like to do stuff. Like, don't you just like to do stuff? You guys decided on your vacation that you were just going to come up here and do some stuff, right? Who's, you know, play broom ball or, you know, run down the tubing hill or, you know, play with horses or, I don't know. You like, we can't sit still. Anybody can, who's, like, you know who you are. You can't sit still. Raise your hand if you know you can't. Yeah, you look like you can't sit still, girl. You go, girl. Okay. You know, we just got to do stuff. That's who we are. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with doing anything, doing stuff. Because, I mean, nothing gets done if people don't do it. What I'm saying here is, and we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, is the key here to bearing fruit is not trying to bear fruit. It's abiding or remaining. So here's my question. I'll leave you with this. If that's what's so important, if that's what we're called to do, sorry, I just spit here. If that's what we're supposed to do is to remain in him, then by all means, what does that mean? What does it mean to remain in him? What does it mean to abide in him? What is he asking of us? What does he want from us? What is he longing for from us? So I would just encourage you tonight as you go to bed, tomorrow as you wake up, you know, get some time alone. Maybe you can talk about it with your family or however you want to do it. But talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what does that mean? If you're the true vine, if the Father is the gardener, if we're the branches and we're called to remain in you, if that's the thing, that's the most important thing, what does that even mean? Make sense? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it catches us, how it calls us, how it sometimes confuses us, but how it directs us back to you and to what you're really looking for. So, Lord, the question is, what does it mean to remain? What does it mean to abide in you? So, Lord, I just pray even tonight that you just speak to us and show us what you're wanting from us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.